Technical stuff up and running now, so good to have everybody this morning that could be here, and those that are joining in with us online, good to have you too. Just Lord met with us already this morning. We had a good meeting. I believe Lord's presence was there, and just appreciate him guiding us and his burden and his heart for us and the things he's got for us to do. He's got a purpose in our being here at this place and this time, and just like, who was it? The name goes right out of my head now. Mordecai, Esther, right? Esther, yeah, just like Esther, we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. So I believe he's got a purpose for us being here, and he's sharing that and communicating that with us. So I appreciate that. Let's just bow our heads. We'll ask the Lord to be with us this morning. Father, we do thank you so much for another chance to be together in your name. It's a blessing every time we can get together and share Christ in one another. Every time we do it, we just feel the refreshing, the blessing of fellowship, the mystery of fellowship, as your word calls it, Lord, the body that you've made us a part of. We just give you thanks. We appreciate it. To ask you to have your way here today, Lord, lead us and guide us. Nothing we do, we want to just do out of tradition or form, or Lord, we just want to simply yield it to you and let you bless it, and then there'll be spiritual life in it. It'll be something that feeds us, and I believe you can be here with us this morning. We're believing for that. So ask you now to have your way. We give you thanks. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing, I'm sorry, I did forget to mention, I was going to mention real quick, Greg Casey has started feeling sick. He and Polly are actually on their way back. They left this morning. I think Joe said he just talked to him recently. They were about in Florence or so, but said Greg's running about 103-degree fever and not feeling too good. So just hold him up. I don't know if it's some of this stuff that's been going around here or if it's something else, but either way, it's no fun traveling when you don't feel good. So just remember Greg, too. Just kind of in line with what the Lord was emphasizing and encouraging coming into this meeting, we don't really have any kind of plan or agenda or anything as scheduled for this, so we just want to let the Lord have his way, do what he will. So if anybody feels led to just, you know, give an update on the churches or a burden you want to share for prayer or just anything the Lord's put on your heart, we're just here to hear whatever he's got for us. So just turn it over to him. Praise God. Yes, sir. Tony and Renee are heading back? Tim Stepp as well. Okay, they're not sick, though. They were just going back. Okay. All right, so Tony, Renee, and Tim Stepp are on their way back home as well. I'm sure we'll have any number leaving after the service tonight as well, so good prayers for travels will be appropriate the next day or two. All right, well, let's let the Lord have his way.
Praise God. It is good to be a part of the body of Christ, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. I just wanted to share something. The other night I was sitting at the house after the service, and I was thumbing through my phone, and I saw Brother Bobby on there. He was giving some, Brother Bobby Abrina in the Philippines. He was been on there several times, just giving out what the Lord's given him. And so I hadn't talked to him in several years. I used to call him, and I just got slack in doing that. But ended up calling him because it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock a.m. there. I said, man, I wonder what time it is there. And just called him, and, man, it was really good just to hear his voice. I know we've been praying for them. We've gone through some things there, you know, just asking the Lord to lead us and guide us. But let's remember these brothers and what they're doing. He shared a few things that he really wanted us to be praying with them about. It looks like the Lord has opened up a door for them through a satellite broadcast, which is not going to just reach Davao, but the entire Philippines coverage. He said 50 million people is the potential to reach there. He said also everyone has cell phones, and the Lord, you know, the Lord's put it on their heart to really share stuff on social media. And these are things we've been praying with them about. And also, they would love, they said for prayer, to use the services that we post on the thing to post out there with on that satellite thing, if the Lord opens that door, to put the messages that have been coming forth here, because they said they need it. They appreciate what God's been doing. So let's just remember them. It was good to just, you know, we can email and all this stuff, but sometimes we need to pick up the phone and talk to people. You know, they're a long ways away, but there is just something about our voices, the Christ in us sharing with one another. But I just want to put that out there. Y'all, please, he asked very, very sincerely for us to continue to remember them. You know, they're back open. They're able to have services, and they were very thankful for that. So let's continue to remember those brothers there in the Philippines. Let's remember Brother Timothy. I get to talk to him quite a bit, but let's remember him and all that Lord's doing there. ones I do not get to talk to are Ezra and David Angango, just via email once in a while. But let's remember, you know, the Lord has taken, I mean, we are a small group, but God has given us the ability to reach worldwide with what he's been giving us. One thing I thought about last night, as Phil was talking about our purpose, you know, we really need our hearts and our lives. I guess in this meeting, it's been good for me to just remember the vision that the Lord has us a part of. But also that comes with us letting a lot of things go that we hang on to. The things that Phil was talking about last night. I wanted to read the one scripture there out of 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded. The word self-control really stuck out to me. And right after that is so that you can pray. You know, you look at what the disciples, Jesus, and I hadn't researched this yet, but I think one of the main things that they, I don't remember them asking him anything else but to teach us to pray. There was something about when Christ came back from spending time with the Lord that he had a vision. He knew what his Father wanted him to do and his purpose. Do we not need that as our not just... not just Bible Tabernacle here, but all four of our assemblies, where we're at, God has placed us in a specific area. And the Lord has things for us to do there. There's sheep there, I believe, in every one of our communities, whether you're on a job, because the people that you influence, I don't have a chance to influence, but you do. But man, we have to be self-controlled, and that is not something that comes from us gearing ourselves up, but it actually comes from saying, God, I'm a depraved wretch, and I need your power that you say that you have given me to overcome this guy. Set him aside so that I can hear your voice, that I can be effective when I wake up this morning and I go forth with what you've called me to do, that I actually can have life in me to give other people. I mean, that is what he's called us here. And, you know, what a privilege. Someone like me and like you, God rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Without him intervening and pulling us from the dead. And then also, man, he makes us and wants to use us to expand his kingdom on this earth. That's a pretty awesome thought. Lord, help us to realize what we are a part of, but also that we can be in a place where we can hear his voice. I had a couple other scriptures here. You know, that really stuck out to me. We heard, the other assemblies heard that one from Brother Cimbala on the grace of self-control. Man, what a powerful message. Powerful message, man. And it stuck with me, just that word, self-control. You go right over to the next chapter here, chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Who do we need to be alert about? Phil said it, the man in the mirror. Because I tell you what, without God helping us by his Holy Spirit, let me ask you this. When you were born again, what did God give you? His Spirit. His Spirit. Christ himself, a piece of him, is now indwelling us. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to... You think he wants to devour the world? He's got them. But if he can destroy our testimony and make us ineffective, he's won a battle. But that's not what God has for us, is it? And I'm speaking to the mirror right now, because God, I need your help in this area of my life too. Because this, y'all know, I'm younger than a lot of people here. But man, we can get rolling down the road, buddy, and just completely get out of the will of the Lord for our lives. And that ain't a good place to be. We need him if we want to be effective and productive. It says, resist him standing firm in the faith, which is authored by who? Jesus Christ. He came, he authored the faith, he lived it, and he has given us the power that we can actually have victory in our lives. It says, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. A couple more scriptures I had here that I wrote down. These were just coming to me. Just bear with me. Oh, then you go right over to 2 Peter, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, this stuck out, that we may participate in His divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And ain't a man in here that does not have evil desires every day. I'm talking about, man, you wake up and it is a battle just when our minds come back out of sleep and say, God, I want to serve you today. Satisfy me. Psalms 90, verse 12. Satisfy me, Lord. If that's our prayer, you think God's going to satisfy us? So that the rest of these things don't have a hold on us. But man, we get up and we just beeline it. And I'm talking to myself here. We forget about the Lord. All of a sudden, we get in trouble. We're facing something. Oh my gosh, how in the world did I get in this situation? Well, I'll tell you how we got there. Evil desires. And we didn't ask the Lord, God, I need your help today. Please rescue me. For this very reason, make every effort. There is an actual participation God wants us to do in this. And actually, ask Him. And then if we go right back, it says His divine power has given us what? Everything. Well, if we put a period right there, well, we got it whipped, right? Man, this is continual going back to the well and saying, God, help me. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, here's that word again, self-control. I need it, folks. And to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess, what does it mean to possess something? Lay hold to it. We actually have to, Lord, give me the strength, your power, your victory today to lay hold of these things, because they're not in this nature. But I do know this, they are in the spirit that you have given me. And that can come forth if we say, God, help me. I know what your word says. When I was born again, you sealed me with your spirit. You put that in my heart. And today, for that to actually walk out, I have got to give your spirit a greater measure of to me, Lord, and help me. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. I could write a book on being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, I want to do better. And it's not just a matter of doing better. God, help me. Lord, give me victory in my life. I don't care what it is. Every gamut of sin is covered in this building right now. And every one of us is battling every single day. But God can give it. He wants to give us the victory, right? He wants to give us the victory that, man, we can be a help to our brothers first and to people outside these four walls in all of our assemblies, to encourage them. Do you need encouragement? I need encouragement every day, every single day that I'm walking. I'm over there at the college walking through there. I need encouragement, but I want to be in a place where I can offer encouragement to a thirsty soul, someone that needs something. Maybe it's salvation they need. That comes from God. But guess what? We can sow seeds, some water. It is what God gives us to do. And man, what a great, what they call the Great Commission. Lord, help us to just avail ourselves. I want to be walking with Him, in tune with Him, that we can still work out His purpose He's called us to here as MCM Ministries, but also as our individual assemblies. God, help us. He's going to. But Lord, keep our mind clear that we can pray, because that's where we get the battle plan. We get the battle plan individually, but also as a body, we have a battle plan to resist the devil, because he is going to do his very best to tear us apart. But praise God, Jesus Christ has won the victory on the cross. He crushed his head. You know that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And tell you what, we are washed by the blood of the Lamb this morning. I had a couple other scriptures, but I think that's all the Lord wanted to share. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I was thinking about this scripture when JP's up here, and it's kind of been, part of the burden the Lord gave to me recently. But he's talking about feeding the sheep. And this is after Jesus is crucified. the guys, the apostles, are they went out fishing, and they're out there. It's John 21. Jesus says to Peter, sat there on the boat, and he told him to come in, and he told him to let her, they caught some more fish, but anyway. So, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And I don't think there's another spot where he tells somebody something three times in a row. But he does here. He said to him second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said it to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I remember one time Phil, I think it was one of the times they went on the missions, he came back and he said there were people living in poverty pretty much, and they barely had enough to get through to the next day. And we can't do this, feed the sheep, if we barely have enough to get through to the next day. If we barely have enough time with the Lord or reading this His Word, we don't have enough to share. So you can't feed any sheep if all you have enough is just a survival. So that's what the Lord, the burden put on my heart. It's just, if you don't have enough to share, you can't share. So if you're just barely scraping by one service a week or whenever we're here and we're not spending any time with them, we don't have enough to share with everybody else. And this, I don't know, that's my thought.
Praise the Lord. Greetings from Columbia. The body there is doing just how the Lord would have it to be doing. You know, it's always difficult to see those leave, but, you know, God's faithful. He's never left us or forsaken us. His word promises that He never will, and so we can just keep trusting in Him. I really appreciate JP and Michael, what you said, both of you. You know, or I feel like the heart of the Lord is encouraging us to sacrifice our will for His, to be led by Him in everything that we do. And this is not anything new, right? I mean, for my 53 years that I've been on earth and the 50 I've been in the church, I've heard this from the beginning. Well, we have to lay down our lives. And part of that is laying down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. And, you know, feeding the sheep, I really appreciated that analogy because I felt like it kind of gave me, maybe I'm taking a square peg and driving it into a round hole, but gave me a little segue to the thought that I had about, you know, husbands being the head of the home and the family, and who are our immediate sheep but our family. And we are supposed to be the ministers to our family. It starts there with us being what we need to be for our wives. And, you know, the truth is, for us to do that, we have to lay down our want to. Because honestly, my want to is a whole lot different than what God's want to is. And it is a sacrifice for me to lay that down. It goes against every fiber of my physical being. But what is the absolute truth is, greater is He that lives in me than he that lives in this world. If it wasn't for Christ, I couldn't. I couldn't lay down my life. I wouldn't be what I need to be. And am I perfect? Absolutely not. And I'll need Him every moment of every day to be able to grow and being able to exercise more grace to be able to be what I need to be to my wife and my daughter. But I had that the scripture there in Ephesians 5, and I had some things kind of come to me as I was reading it earlier. So if y'all will bear with me just to read a little bit of this. I'm breaking into the thought Paul has here, but I'm going to start in verse 21. And it says, "And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, and as Christ is the head of the church." I have to slow down. I'm trying to speak like Ben, I guess. A little too fast. Spinning my wheels. "Just as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of his body, the church. As a church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life. He submitted his life." We have to submit our lives. So, yes, the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, but we're supposed to submit our lives to Christ in honor for our wives. And I just want us to really think about this in our daily lives and take stock of where is Sean Tambling at? What am I doing that is not submitting myself? How can I learn to grow? And, you know, we can hear all of these words, but if we don't start exercising that word, hearing it is worthless. Don't get me wrong. I want everybody to come to all the services they can, because eventually I feel like God's going to work in those that need that work, right? But at the same time, you've got to start exercising it. For me to say, oh, that 50-pound dumbbell over there is going to do me a lot of good, and then never go and grab a hold of it and start curling it, I'm never going to get any biceps. It's never going to do me any good, right? So we've got to be practical about the actual exercising of the word. And what I thought was important as I was sitting there reading this, Paul goes on, he did this to present her, the church, to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and two are united in one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. We are that one with Christ, and we are that to be that one with our wives, right? If we allow things in our lives to get us, I forget who said it, and maybe it was Phil last night, about getting our eyes off of Christ. If we allow, it doesn't matter what it is. You could name everything in the book. If anything gets our eyes off of Christ, then we have something else that is filling our minds and is hindering us from being what God would have us to be. Is there any condemnation? What does the word say about condemnation? There is therefore now no condemnation. So this is not condemning anybody. I'm in exactly the same boat. But we all have the same, we're made out of the same flesh. We all have the same need of being able to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters and for our wives. Because it starts as a husband. This is what we're here as men, right? Most of us are married. Most of us have children. Most of us are the head of our home. And we're to do that, we have to lay down our lives for our family. We have to put them first over our own want-tos and exercise the word that Christ has given us here. And is it easy? It's not easy. It goes against my very fiber to have to do this. But look around. Look around. Look at your brothers and your sisters here. Look at the ones who are prospering, not in a financial sense, but in a spiritual sense. Those who have the mind of Christ in their lives and are walking with the Lord, and what their families, how they're doing. They're doing well. Yeah, we got some people that are struggling. That's going to be always the case. But what do you see? You see Christ high and lifted up. That's what I see. And I appreciate the Lord encouraging us this morning. I really appreciate what has been said this morning. Michael, I really, that was a blessing, what you had to say. And, you know, keep remembering the body in Columbia. We are small in numbers, but it only takes the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We need it more than our very next breath. And with Him, we can do exploits. And I do believe that as we lay down our lives for our family, if we start there and we put our family first in the sense of the want-tos of my life, right? Not over the church, but I mean, our families should be first, and us taking care of them over everything else that we want to do. And when we do that and we get our eyes on Christ, I truly believe that that will start trickling out to others, that they'll be able to see the love of Christ in our families. And they'll say, well, you got something I don't have. I want that. How do you have that peace? How do you have that love for your wife? Because the truth is, we're all made out of the same flesh. And our wives are made out of flesh too. And they can be difficult, just like I can be difficult, right? I'm no better. So it always takes two to tango, right? So what we have to do, though, is what I found in my life is the old man wants to rise up. My wife might say something, and I didn't take it just right, and I get offended. And I'm ready to go. And, you know, but the Lord is faithful to speak to you. Now, what are we going to do then? What are we going to do at that moment? Are we going to blow up and then just pour out all of this hate, for lack of a better word, probably the right word? Or are we going to submit to Christ and put our wife above ourselves? That's what He's talking about here. We're supposed to be submitting ourselves to Christ that we might be able to lay down our lives for our wife. And that's not an easy thing. But it is the right thing. It is according to God's word. And so I ask God for y'all's prayer. Because, you know, anytime you talk about this, what's the first thing? The devil's going to come and jump on you. And you're going to have something that you're going to have to exercise yourselves in, right? So y'all pray for me. Because I know that's going to be the case. But, you know, y'all pray for me and my mom and my dad. Y'all know how much I love them, and they've been a part of this body for 50 years and have decided to go somewhere else. And I know a lot of people have asked and have questions, and I don't necessarily have all of the answers. But I'm just going to confess to you, to be honest with y'all. They asked us to come over to the house one night, and we did, and they told us that they were going to go somewhere else. And instead of me submitting myself to Christ, instead of me doing what is right, I blew up, and I lost my spirit. Honestly, Mom and Dad loved me so much that they love covers a multitude of sin, right? That they did overlook it, but my old man rose up in a very ugly way, and it was, you know, of course, that once you recognize it, it hurts you because you've hurt somebody else, and it wasn't a good witness, and obviously it's never going to accomplish the results that you'd want it to. You would want something else to happen, right? And so y'all pray. I know that my mom still struggles a little bit with being apprehensive about how to communicate, and she's worried that I'm constantly upset at her, and I'm not. The Lord helped me. It wasn't right that moment, but a couple of days later, the Lord did help me, and I was able to just, you know, confess to Him, and I even apologized to them too. But, you know, that's another thing, you know, as husbands, the scriptures there talking about wives submitting to husbands was real small. Did y'all hear that? It was a very short section. The onus is on us men. And so, yes, the wives are supposed to submit to the husbands, but, you know, the onus is on us. So being the head of the home, that does not mean to be a tyrant. It doesn't mean to be a dictator and that your way is the only way that goes. You do still have to flow with your wife. But at the same time, we are supposed to be the head, the lead in making decisions, in prayer, in scripture, and in the way we treat others. And so I guess I just want to encourage us all that we just honor the word. This is nothing new. I mean, we've all heard this forever, but we all are made out of the same flesh and have to be reminded regularly, because y'all just heard me confess, you can fall down that quick, you know, you just do. And so I appreciate that the Lord doesn't condemn us, that he loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. I mean, if you start thinking about it, from the very beginning of time, from the very beginning, I don't even understand all of that when you start talking about time. But when you think about how amazingly awesome God is, that he knew us from before we were ever created, before he ever did anything, he knew us. And he knew who would be here and who wouldn't, who would be his children and who would not, right? That's mind-boggling in my little pea-pumpkin brain. But it shows how amazing God is, right? I mean, to be able to plan and foreknow all of this and to still love Sean Tambling. I mean, a sinner such as I, to love me, but that's how amazingly awesome he is. The song Amazing Grace, it is absolutely amazing grace, because we use the word amazing way too liberally when you compare it to how amazing his grace is for us. And I just appreciate that he loved us so much that he died for us, and that he's made a way for us to be able to come back and fellowship with him. He wanted that in the very beginning in the garden, and then there was a separation, and he allowed it. And then he allowed us to be able to come back by having his son die on the cross and be able to come back in union and communion with him. And that's a pretty awesome God. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. I appreciate this morning. It's been so edifying and encouraging just to break bread together. And, you know, a couple of thoughts. I was just pondering earlier this week, you know, about the light. You know, Christ is the light of the world. And you know, just his presence here. You know, we were talking about the anointed singing last night, just the holy presence of the Lord. And the Word of God says, you know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And I was thinking, too, I looked up where Jesus was speaking at the time to his disciples at that point. He said, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And you know, I wasn't here Wednesday night, but Mom texted me and gave me a synopsis of it. And, of course, we're all aware of what's going on in the world. You know, the Word of God says darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. And we're seeing that unfold. And, of course, we're all dark until Christ comes in and takes up residence here. You know, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. We're all altogether unrighteous until Christ imputes his righteousness to us. But I was just thinking about the light, and I looked up. These were just fragments of thoughts, and I don't remember where they were all located. But in Exodus, you know, when Pharaoh's heart was hardened and Moses was, you know, calling out on God's people's behalf, you know, I guess it's called light in Goshen is the example there. But the thread is the fact that where Jesus is, where God is, That means he's resident there. It's called the Shekinah glory, the presence of the Lord. That's safety. The body of Christ is a covert from a storm. This is his he says, "But for behold, I've desired Zion. This is my habitation. This is where he lives. He lives in our hearts, not in the four walls, but in our hearts." But there in it says it was dark all around. One of the things Moses did was, you know, what God commanded him, all the plagues, you know, and the locusts and so forth. But it says for the children of Israel, they had light in their homes. And because they had God, they were communing with him. And in this dark world, we've got light. And I remember Brother Thomas made a comment. In fact, it was a quote on the website at one point that, you know, this is a place of safety, that the body of Christ. And of course, we know that God is adding to his flock globally. We're a part of his remnant, thank God. But my thought was, you know, let's walk while we have the light. And let's not take anything for granted. And then one of the emphasis that's been underscored during this meeting is the importance of just really communing with the Lord in prayer. Let's really seek God. Don't take anything for granted. Just because we've done a thing in the past doesn't mean that's how God will move in the future. So we need to commune with the Lord. Being in his very presence, you know, has this not ever been the case, but certainly now. Wow, look at this world. I mean, it's off the charts how fast things are happening in this world. I mean, personally, there's no telling what I may face or you may face, and collectively. So we need really, in fact, Phil came to Lexington, I can't remember, it hadn't been that long ago. Dad was still living at the time. But he talked about light. He's in the presence of the Lord now. Thank God for that bright light there. Thank the Lord. But Phil, you know, said, you know, we're not equipped to face what's coming on this earth in ourselves. But we sure need to start talking to the Lord about it. God, help us. Get us ready, because I promise you things are rapidly changing. Brother Kumar shared the other night, he's facing major opposition in his nation. And, you know, ultimately we know what the word declares is this, you know, we're living in the apostate age. People are falling away from the Lord. There's a false gospel going out. So we need to cherish the anointing, the light. Can't take it for granted. We just need to commune with the Lord and seek him for it. But who knows what we may need to face. But anyway, finally in Jude, this stood out to me. I looked this up the other day, and I'm breaking into a thought. What led to all of this was, you know, I looked at Thessalonians and I looked at Revelations, you know, the conditions that we know about. And first off, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So we don't know his timeline. But clearly Jesus said, you know, if it's cloudy, you know, probably it's going to rain. You can tell that. Well, you know, you need to tell what times that you're living in. You know, and it's not like we don't know this, but it is late. But I tell you, I was reading this, so I was reading about the conditions that we're all watching on the news, and I don't get bogged down. I do pay attention so I can be prayerful. But, you know, my focus, Jim Simula preached a message on that. And, you know, we got the good news. We got a bright future. We're focusing on that. At the same time, we know what's going on. But that's the reason I was looking at these. But this blessed me. And Jude was dealing with the people that were not of the Lord, all the conditions, all the symptoms of their heart. They were not turned to the Lord. And I'm breaking in on a thought. But here's the thought is the love of God and prayer and the Holy Spirit. This is in Jude. It says here, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Okay, talk about practical, you know, it doesn't happen by osmosis. We don't lie on the couch and eat Doritos and sleep 12 hours a day. And, you know, this doesn't happen by default. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up. David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. He went against what he saw, you know, and hope against hope, you know, oftentimes in our walk. But by faith, you know, we don't feel it or see it. The brother's talking about faith, you know. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But here in verse 20, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit, you know, not this, you know, recitation of verbiage, but from your heart, you know, inquire of the Lord, cry out to God about what you're facing, what the rest of us are facing, what we may face. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now, we know we can't, in our own self-effort, do anything, but certainly we can walk in the light by saying, you know, Reed, how are you, brother? Man, you know, you were on my heart last night, and, you know, can I help you out with something? And, you know, or vice versa. And so that's keeping ourselves in the love of God. And so that's something we can do. And then I'll read these two scriptures. I love the last one. JP touched on this, gives me hope in verse 24. But 22 says, be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. That's all of us right there. But look at this. To him who is able to keep you from falling. Thank God. Don't we need that? Yeah, it's a given. I'm going to fall. You know, the Word of God says there's none righteous, no, not one. But it also said there is none on the earth that doeth good always and sinneth not. And that covers me. Let me be the first on the list. And wherever you fall in after that, it's between you and God. But Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. So I'll speak for myself. Verse 24, to him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages. JP was talking about this in Sean. Now and forevermore. Amen. Praise God. He can keep us from falling, but we need to commune with him and build ourselves up in this day in our most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. And we need to be before our Lord, and that's where we'll know what the next step is. And so praise God. Lord bless you.
Praise God. I really appreciate what the brethren have shared this morning. It's been a blessing, hasn't it? I just went to Romans 12, and we've heard this scripture so many times, but for me, have I really heard it, though? It's, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That right there is what we're talking about this morning, isn't it? It's not what we want, but it's surrendering our will to the Lord and offering a sacrifice to him. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And this really stuck out to me this morning as the brethren were talking. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise God. I was just thinking about that. You know, that transformation is getting our minds off ourselves and our situations and bringing it before the Lord and sharing time with the Lord. That's how we can transform our minds, isn't it? Praise God for that. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to know what God's will is for our minds. Sean mentioned our wives, our church, what we have. But as we bring these things to the Lord, it says right there that he has a will that is good, it's pleasing, and it's a perfect will. Praise God for that. I'm going to skip down here. It says in the same chapter, it says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to that what is good. It says, be devoted to one another, how? In love. Honor one another above yourselves. That plays a big factor in everything that we do, isn't it? And the perfect example is Jesus Christ himself, isn't it? He went to the cross, came down, seated right on the throne beside God, and he saw the need in us, and he sacrificed his life, and he is the perfect example for each one of us. We're not going to be perfect, but thank God the Lord's living in us. And you know, it was talked about, if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive and forget our sins. And that's a daily thing, isn't it? Praise God for that. I'm just so thankful that our God is never like this with closed fist. He's open with open arms. And it's not only for us, but it's for when we bring our brothers and sisters before God. He has the same heart and love towards them. And it says, be devoted one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. And here's one of the sentences that came out, faithful in prayer. I'll tell you what, that's something that we've talked about this morning is that one of the ways that we can grow in the Lord is that we grow closer to Him in our relationship and our prayer with the Lord, isn't it? And it says, be joyful in hope, patient, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. That's part of what JP was talking about. You know, when we're reaching out to people out here, we can be a light to people. And we can, if the Lord opens doors, we can be hospitable to them and be able to share the Lord with them, maybe invite them into our homes if the Lord opens that door, you know. But anyway, praise God. I'm just thankful to the Lord. And it's really, you know, just the example of what it started off with. This is offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. I think we're all learning that more and more in a greater way as we continue to grow closer to the Lord, aren't we? Praise God.
Praise God. I got here a little bit late. I think when JP was up, I got maybe about halfway through what he shared. But I guess my contribution this morning, it was more just what the Lord's just been doing with me even prior to the meetings and just kind of what He's been showing to me. I know Michael used the word opposition when he was speaking. And, you know, I guess the Lord's always speaking to us, but he comes to us in different ways. And one of the messages we watched, I know several of us were encouraged to watch a message from Brother Jim Symbol, I believe it was called Self-Control. It was back on June 5th. And, man, it was really good. I mean, the Lord really hit on a lot of areas of our lives that can be out of balance. And that was really a start of the Lord. Anger was one of the first things that came up that he talked about. But he went through just a whole lineage of things that we battle day in and day out. You know, the scriptures talk about there's fightings within and without. And a lot of the service last night we heard was about that and how God wants us to bring those things to Him and how He's able, as we've heard, to keep our eyes on Him. He can help us work through those fightings within. And you look at the fightings without. I look at my brothers overseas, like Brother Kumar, others, especially those in the missionary field. They have a lot of fightings without that God's called them to go in and do certain things. And one of the documentaries I watched, again, this was sent around. I think Brother Phil sent it out, called The Insanity of God. And it was about Nick and Ruth Ripken, who were missionaries for years and years in really different countries. I didn't know they actually went to different countries, but you just saw how the Lord worked in just miraculous ways in situations that were impossible. And I guess my theme and my word that's been on my heart all this meeting, prior to the meeting, in the meeting, is how God wants us to look at opposition. I mean, we look at it at where that's things that we're dealing with ourselves and our flesh and things God's helping us overcome, or things outside of our control that are we want to see God work. And we can get, as we see more of this opposition of the world and the things happening, we can get overwhelmed and we can get discouraged. But as I gave myself to what I was seeing in these documentaries and the word we've been hearing here in our services, I was encouraged, because I'm like, God, You do Your greatest work in opposition. Whether it's within me or my brother going through something, You are working like You can work no other way. Isn't that worth everything? I mean, if we just sat there like Solomon, for instance, and we just had everything and there were no problems, God's not working there. He's working in lives because He loves us. He doesn't want to let us go. Aren't you thankful He doesn't let us go? He's working in us. He's working in impossible situations like Carolyn right now, where she's at. He's working right there. We can't see it. We pray for her by faith. He is working. And we need to, that's where I'm encouraged, is to see that I want to embrace opposition prayerfully in a way that I haven't done it before. I don't want to let it just overwhelm me. Well, God, here's something else. Something else is coming. Something else. Gosh, my brother. And your flesh goes, is it ever going to end? Guess what? If we're walking on this earth, opposition will never end. And that is not a bad thing, because that's where God's working. Isn't that awesome? Amen. We can see that. When you see some of the testimonies that Nick Ripken and them, their wife went through, I mean, impossible situations, hopeless. And then God would do things that were just, I mean, you saw the enemy working in a way that was like overwhelming, but that God was doing something he was waiting to unveil. And when he unveiled it, God got all the glory. And there was lives touched in ways. You know, you look at that as a large scale. Well, he's doing that in many different levels, smaller scales in our own individual lives. Aren't we thankful for that? And let's pray for our younger generations. My heart goes out to the things they're going to be facing and seeing, the opposition they're going to have. Every one of them, I look at Philip and the ones that are here, different ones. Caleb's not here, but let's pray for them. God's with them. He's with our younger generations, our younger families. They're seeing things. They're having to deal with things we haven't dealt with that we're seeing. But God will be with them and help them to look at that opposition in a fresh and new way and see God working despite. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. This has been a blessing, hasn't it? I don't know how much longer the Lord wants us to be here, but I appreciate every single thing that's been shared. There's been a common thread, if y'all notice that, and it's just, I'll tell you what, even from last night, when we lay our lives down, that's when this old man is killed. And it's not killed until we do, but it's not a one-time thing. It keeps on going. And others have voiced even to encounter what's in us that's not of Christ, and it, boom, out it comes. That's not very encouraging, but praise God we have forgiveness. We also have grace to overcome. And the one thing, I just had one thought back there, and I'm going to share it. And, you know, there's been several themes, but it all comes down to us laying our life down. That includes praying, giving our lives to Him, seeking Him, sacrificing our time for each other, looking to Him. Everything we stand in need of, we have in Christ. And it comes from nowhere else. But one of the verses, I think, Phil, I know he referred to it, was in 2 Corinthians 4. And it talks about, you know, us being cast down but not destroyed, and we're being delivered unto death, right? And it's almost like we're delivered to an executioner. But he didn't kill us in one whap. It's like his aim's bad or something. I tell you what, we can only take so much. But God kills things one step at a time. And he is faithful. But the thought I had as you get down toward the end of that chapter, this is what it says. Well, he's talking about the fact that Christ is being manifested in these mortal bodies. Is that not what we're talking about? That's what the calling is for Christ to come forth in these jars of clay. And for Christ to be seen and shared, this is the hope, this is the only hope the world has, is the hope that is in Christ Jesus. It's the only hope we have. But praise God, it's a great hope. You know, when it talks about, you know, one of the reasons for gathering together is, you know, you hear this term, encourage one another. You know what I mean? Encourage one another. Encourage means to, I look it up, it says to inspire with hope, courage, and confidence. Do you know anybody more than Christ that can do that for us? And we're going to need all that in the days ahead. But this is what it said. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day. That shows you that relationship that we need in the Lord is accomplished day by day. But that's to be renewed. Jesus Christ restores us. So even though we're dying out, there's a renewal that takes place that's greater than the death. And it makes you realize the death that we die, praise God, it's more than worth it. Look at the death he died. We're sitting here because of that. It is amazing what the Lord has done for us. And it's amazing to see it worked out real time in our lives. I mean, you actually see Jesus Christ here. That's amazing. But that's what it's all about. We are so privileged. And it's worth everything to be born again. And it's worth everything every day to lay our life down and continue to draw and get from Him what we can get from nowhere else. It's Him alone. And He's worthy to be praised. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, I'm always amazed at what God brings out and shares with us in situations like this. You know, we've heard about our trials, our adversities, overcoming all this, and ultimately what this is doing is preparing us to spend eternity with Jesus. I mean, I'm ready to go now. I don't know about y'all, but you know, we have this flesh to deal with, our own minds, the devil, and one day that's all going to go away. There's this song, once again, my wife referred to me. It's by Zach Williams. It's called Face to Face. And I'm going to read the words to you, so just it just kind of gives you a picture of what we'll get to experience one day. It says, "Oh, I'm a traveler far from home. I get lost, but I press on, because there's a mansion in streets of gold where I belong. Yes, there's a day coming soon where the old will be made new, and heaven's glory shines like the morning before our eyes. When we all see Jesus, when we all see Jesus, no more sickness, no more madness, no more pain. When we all see Jesus face to face." You know, we're experiencing him right now as a body. His spirit is here with us. One day we will see him face to face forever. And then we will sing with angel voices. There will be a great rejoicing. Holy, holy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. When we all see Jesus, no more sickness, no more madness, no more pain. When we all see Jesus face to face. Oh, I mean, this is the end game. That's the end goal. We're fighting day by day. We have to die out to ourselves day by day. But the Lord's helping us. He's there. He's here. And one day it's going to be real easy. Praise the Lord.
Thank y'all for your hospitality. It's been a blessing. And like Paul said this morning, it's just been good to sit and rest in the presence of God. We do have a little bit of work to do down here, though. He's not through with us yet. Praise God. But thank God for these times of refreshing. I was thinking as Michael was talking about feeding my sheep, I thought of the scripture in Matthew. I think it flows with Matthew 14. It says, I tell you, our life is a life of utter dependency, and that's really the crux of our problem. We are so independent, and we're learning, and I'm thankful that God allows fruit in our life so we can enjoy and say, wow, the Lord did this. I had nothing to do with this other than submitting to him. And the saying, death out of life, really is true. And we're not where we were yesterday. We haven't arrived yet, but praise God for the things he's showing us. When you said feed my sheep, and then you're talking about our wives and our family members, that's not something we can do in our conjuring ourselves to be really fruitful. It has to be the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And in order to have that fruit, we have to abide in him, which is another death. We don't like to abide in the lordship of Jesus Christ is a problem to this old man. But I'm thankful that he's tender and patient with us, aren't you? And he's a good God. And he has led us to repentance by showing us how good he is, really. But anyways, we don't have what we need, folks, in ourselves. And that should be painfully obvious. If you've been around the things of God very long, this flesh doesn't profit anything. And I was thinking about this parable about feeding people, because that's what we want to be. We want to be folks who can allow the Lord to show his love through us. Because his love is completely different than our love.
If you ever experience just a touch of his supernatural love in your heart, you'll never be the same. It's like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. And that's what he wants to get us out of the way so that he can touch people and bless people. He's a blesser. It's in his heart to give people life and joy. And that's not our nature. But praise God, we're learning. But in order, we need to understand that what we have to do in order to be a blessing to our wives, our family, and to the body of Christ, we have to bring ourselves and commit our lives to Christ. Just lay ourselves on the altar. And he can do something with that. He's not depending on us to help him. He's wanting us to die to self so that he can live through us. His life. Not give us a suggestion here or there. He wants to actually live his life through us. Inspire us through his Holy Spirit. Guide us. Make us aware of a need of a brother. I don't have the need. I don't have that ability to know what the need of your heart is. But the Lord can help us. He can reveal that to us. Speak to us. He can give us his compassion. Anyways, let me just read this little account of the disciples that Jesus was ministering, and they were there, and had these 5,000 people out there. They're hungry, and it was the end of the day, and the disciples said, "Hey, we need to send these people away. They need to go get some food. They're hungry." Jesus had a different plan. He said, "These people don't need to go away." He said, "You give them something to eat." You know, as a husband, you could feel this way. What am I supposed to give? What do I have to give my wife? What do I have to give my children? What do I have to give my brother? Well, you don't have anything to give them. You don't have enough. You don't have what it takes. But Jesus does. And if we learn this, like I said, giving ourselves to him first. That's what the theme of a lot of what we've been talking about is. We have to give ourselves to the Lord. We have to stop doing the things that we want to do. If we keep doing it, someone said the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over with and expecting different results. We're going to have to do things differently. And so he said, you give them something to eat. And they said, we don't have what it takes here. We got two fish and five loaves. And this is the key. Put yourself in this as the five loaves or fish. He said, you bring them to me. Bring yourself to the Lord. That's what we need to do. We need to bring ourselves to the Lord every day. Amen. Lord, here I am. I don't have what it takes to be effective in this life. I don't have what I need today. I'm looking to you. Here I am. Jesus can work with that. Someone, I guess it was Brother, my mind is terrible. It's JP. Yes, thank you. He was talking about just heading out on our, like getting up, waking up, and going. Boy, that's the natural man. We need to wait on the Lord. That's what we need. We need to prostrate ourselves before God and say, Lord, help me today. It didn't take much, really. Just like a willing heart. And God can work with that. So they said, he said, bring them to me. Just bring them to me. Praise God. And that's what they did. And that's what we need to do is bring ourselves to the Lord. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the five loaves and he took the two fish. He looked up to heaven and he blessed it. He blessed it. And then there's something else that says here that I just noticed. He broke it. Folks, we need to be broken. This old man needs to be broken. If a grain of wheat falls to the earth and is broken, it has to die, and it opens up. And then all that life will spring out. That's the life of God. So he broke it. And he gave the loaves to his disciples. He'll give something back to you. and then you can give. He said, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. And praise God, they ate and they were filled. And they took up the fragments and there was a lot left over. God can do a lot with a little. In fact, there's another account a few chapters later on. If you look at the numbers, he did more with less than he did with more. So they brought him more the second time, I believe, and there was less people, and they took up less the second time than the first time. Folks, God can do anything. He just needs a broken vessel. He needs somebody who knows that they are dependent on him. For the whole thing is, God is going to get the glory. God deserves the glory. And if you're ever used of God in any way, if I'm ever used of God in any way, we will know that it was of him and not of us. So I appreciate what I've heard this week. I've been blessed, and I hope we continue to have these meetings. They're needful, and have been a source of strength and rest to me. Praise God.
Amen.
It's good to be encouraged by the Lord, because I feel then you are encouraged indeed. I think it was Mike said, should be painfully obvious that we are insufficient in ourselves, but I just feel like making much of the flip side of that. It should be gloriously satisfying to know that God is helping his people. If you're in despair, but you know God's the answer, and you have faith in who God is and how real he is, you're not really in despair. You're just waiting to see what God's going to do. First Peter said, these are pretty familiar scriptures. I'll read this one. I have one other. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can just say that to exalt him. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'll just, a little sidebar here. There's, as a husband and as a parent, everything we can do to lay down our own interpretation of everything, lay down the will. There's, in one way or another, we need to be bringing people to a living hope in Jesus Christ. That He becomes their living hope. If we can show how much, someone else used the word wretch this morning, if they can let them know that we walked this earth as a redeemed wretch, love Him, point them to Him. We can't do it in ourselves. We know that. I don't even need to say it, but I'll say it anyhow just to make sure I'm not taking anything on us or giving any man any credit. If we know we are redeemed, saved, redeemed wretch, and it shows, we're giving something to our family. And we're giving something to the man we work with, no matter what we do. And God help us that be who we are. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. I thought of this verse when Byron was speaking. Kept in heaven for you. And this goes along with everything we're saying here today. Who by God's power are being guarded. Hallelujah. That's what we need. I'm going to go over to the end of 1 Peter, and first came to me, kind of a summary to me after the message last night in chapter 5. We've heard the old sports announcer talk about the thrill of victory and agony of defeat. I think in the old days, I think they showed the guys going off the ski jump. Whew. Flying, the thrill of victory. Then he crashes. You know, but in light of what we're talking about here today, it's reversed. You know, it's the agony of defeat. Although it ain't really agonizing. It doesn't have to be agonizing if we keep our eyes on the Lord. But that's life. But then the thrill of victory is God's purposes accomplished. That's what we're talking about last night, what God is doing and the hope we have, you know. So everything, I want to think of it as reversed. Verse 10 says, and after you have suffered a little while, maybe that's the agony, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will, and I just have to circle this word and put it over in the margin, rewrite it in all capital letters. He has called us to his eternal glory in Christ. He will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I wrote another little note to myself there. This is one of many good definitions of faith. If we can believe that God, if I can walk this world believing that God himself, not no mysterious nothing, but God himself, the God that this, if he is real, the man, the being, the God who wrote this Bible, made the earth, did everything, if he is real enough to me and I believe that as I walk around, he himself is restoring me, confirming me, and establishing me, I'm all right. And then I got something to feed some my family and some sheep with. If that's who I am, if that's who we are, we got something to feed somebody.
Well, praise God. This sure has been a blessing this morning. I appreciate this. I was thinking of this passage we know in 2 Corinthians, just starting in chapter 1. It just kept coming back to me as different ones were speaking this morning. And in verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. Where does his comfort come? That new experience of Christ, that fresh revelation of who he is and what he's got available for us, when does that come? It goes back to what Matt was saying. It comes in our troubles. That's when we experience that. That's where we meet him in a special way. It says that he comforts us in all of our troubles, but it doesn't stop there. Thank God for that, but that's not all there is to it. And it's so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. See how it starts here with him teaching us something. Then we've got something we can share about what God's done for us as it flows through. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives. Now, that sounds a lot like what we talked about last night, didn't it? Christ said, I'm going to go and be rejected by the priest. I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be put on a cross. But oh, by the way, you've got a cross to bear too. This is going to be mirrored in your life. It's a different kind. It's going to be a daily cross, but you've got a cross too. But this is the same thing. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. That sounds a lot like death works in us, but life in you, doesn't it? That was the sentiment. It framed the way Paul looked at his life and the things that he dealt with. He realized, just like what Phil was saying last night, understanding God's purpose in it puts a whole new light on it. Because he said, it's not just even just about what you're doing in me. It's about something you're doing in me so that there's something for others. And in his embracing of what God was doing in him so that it would also be a blessing to others. So he says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Praise God. Matt said sometimes you see somebody go through something, your heart goes out to them. But we can take heart in the fact that God is going to give them the grace they need, just as he's given us the grace that we need. And he's doing something in their lives that's going to be special and precious, just like he's doing something in our lives. And that encourages us to continue to keep our heads up and continue to encourage, continue to look to God. It says, our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. And he's talking about something from his own experience. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. You know, Phil talked about that sentence last night. You know, the sentence of death on these mortal bodies, that was passed in the garden. when they departed from the will of God, sin and death entered the world. That's that judgment, that form of the word that means the sentence was being passed. That happened in the garden. But of course, we all experience the carrying out of that sentence as we go along in the world. And Paul said, well, we've reached that point where this might be the time for that sentence to be carried out for me. That, you know, that's what he thought. This could be it. This could be the end. We felt that sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Here's another key, as you help us by your prayers. We're in this together, aren't we? This is a joint thing. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So praise God. This is the process we're in. And I believe God's given us a fresh revelation of that process, but also his purpose in it. And the renewing that vision of what we're here for, what he's doing. And because he wants to extend his grace to us. He wants to, in these troubles, he wants to give us a fresh dose of that comfort. Something we didn't experience out until that trouble came. And something we know him in a deeper way. I just tell you what, it is precious to be in his hands. It is a wonderful thing. Praise God. This has been such a blessing this morning. Is there anything else wants to share here this morning? Well, praise God. Let's continue to pray for tonight. Ask the Lord to just have his way and lead us in what we do. And I believe he's going to be here with us. And it's just been a wonderful blessing. Take care. Y'all have a good day. Lord bless.